Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 17. In this chapter, we have the record of good King Jehoshaphat's early years and the spiritual revival that took place during his reign. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, and now from the end of verse 7 and verse 8, we have a short list of leaders, Levites, and priests that Jehoshaphat sent out as teaching teams. Verse 9, so they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. He had much property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. These are their numbers according to their fathers' houses. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amaziah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 armed with bow and shield. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king besides those the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah. Let's begin our study of this chapter of 2 Chronicles with some background notes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we saw the sad ending to King Asa's life. Remember, Asa was one of the 8 good kings of Judah. He started out well and brought reform to his kingdom, and he relied on the Lord and won a great victory over the Ethiopians against overwhelming odds. But when King Baasha of the northern kingdom of Israel opposed Asa, Asa turned to King Ben-Hadad of Syria and made an alliance with this pagan king, instead of relying on the Lord. And then when King Asa was rebuked by the Lord through the prophet Hanani, Asa was angry and threw the prophet in prison and vented his anger by oppressing some of his own subjects. Look back again at 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 10. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10. And as if that wasn't enough, when the Lord disciplined Asa with disease, Asa still would not turn back to the Lord. And as far as the record goes, Asa died still angry and bitter towards the Lord. Now, there are some great lessons for Christians from the life of King Asa, as we've seen. Think of the obvious lessons for older Christians. Older Christians may have served the Lord faithfully for many years, but will they finish strong? A good beginning is not a guarantee of a good ending. Older Christians have a hard time taking criticism, even when the criticism is from the Lord through his people. Older Christians can get angry and hurt people. Older Christians can be bitter towards God because life did not go as they expected. Many older Christians die in bitterness, never taking the opportunities God gives them to get things right. So there are a lot of spiritual lessons that come to us from the life of King Asa. Now here in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we begin the record of King Jehoshaphat, the son of King Asa. Jehoshaphat is listed as another one of the 8 good kings of Judah. Look again at verses 3 and 4 of our chapter. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Jehoshaphat not only militarily fortified the kingdom of Judah, as we see in verse 2, as well as verses 12 through 19, Jehoshaphat also set the kingdom on a solid economic basis, verse 5. But most importantly, Jehoshaphat took action that resulted in a great spiritual revival in the nation. Now we will look at the characteristics of this spiritual revival under our doctrinal points, because these are characteristics of all spiritual revivals, whether it is a spiritual revival in your own personal life or a spiritual revival that is wider in scope. So that brings us to doctrinal point number 1. Spiritual revival demands separation from evil. Spiritual revival demands separation from evil. Verse 6, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. The high places were the hilltops around the country where idolatry was practiced. The Asherim were wooden images to a Phoenician goddess associated with pagan Baal worship. Much of this idolatry involved lewd and immoral rituals. Jehoshaphat removed all of this, as his father Asa had done in earlier reforms. There could be no spiritual revival without separation from such evil practices. And the same is true today. There can be no spiritual revival in our personal lives, or our churches, or our nation, if we are unwilling to separate from evil. When God's people allow sinful activity and evil to exist in their lives and fellowships, it is not a sign of Christian tolerance, but evidence of a backslidden, hardened conscience. There must be a cleaning of the house. In reference to evil associations, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Spiritual revival demands separation from evil. Doctrinal point number 2. Spiritual revival involves teaching God's word. Spiritual revival involves teaching God's word. We see in verses 7 through 9 that Jehoshaphat wisely sent teaching teams throughout the kingdom of Judah. Now, what did they teach? Verse 9. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Spiritual revival involves teaching God's word. Notice also that Jehoshaphat wisely sent teams that were, shall we say, spiritually balanced. On the team were not only priests and Levites who knew the word, but also government officials to give the teaching team some authority and organization, which probably resulted in better facilities and thus larger crowds in the cities they visited. Now, whether there was one team or several teams, and exactly how they operated when they came into a city, we can't be sure. But one thing is certain, spiritual revival was the result because the focus was on the teaching of God's word. And the same will be true today. Spiritual revival involves teaching God's word. Remember, we are talking here about spiritual revivals, not spiritual awakenings. A spiritual awakening has to do with conversion. Remember the two great awakenings in our own nation's history? A spiritual revival, on the other hand, has to do with bringing God's people back to a committed walk with the Lord. Both spiritual awakenings and spiritual revivals obviously involve God's word. In awakenings, the emphasis is on the preaching of God's word. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. In revivals of God's people, the emphasis is on the teaching of God's word. There cannot be a spiritual revival of God's people today if they don't know what his word teaches. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." That is, knowledge of God's word. Spiritual revival involves teaching God's word. And doctrinal point number 3, spiritual revival has widespread effects. Spiritual revival has widespread effects. Verses 10 and 11. "And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats." Spiritual revivals have good ripple out effects. I think we see in verses 10 and 11 two effects that God brings about when there is a spiritual revival of his people. Number one, the unbelieving world knows that something is going on that is not natural, and they can't stop it. Verse 10, "And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat." The world may try to stop the revival, but God overrules, as he said he would in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 25. "No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread." Deuteronomy 11, 25. This same effect we see in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 5, after spiritual revival came to Jacob's household. I'm reading Genesis 35 and verse 5. "And they journeyed, and the terror or dread of God came upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob." Genesis 35, verse 5. This biblical principle certainly applies today. And number 2, the second good ripple out effect of a spiritual revival is that God raises up support from unexpected sources. Verse 11. "And also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats." You don't have to take time out from a spiritual revival to raise funds. God will provide all the needs for spiritual revival. Who would have ever dreamed that God would move the hearts of the Philistines and the Arabians of all people to support Jehoshaphat's revival? Spiritual revival has widespread effects. Now, what about practical application from 2 Chronicles chapter 17? Why not send out teaching teams? Why not send out teaching teams? Since spiritual revival involves teaching God's word, why not send out teaching teams as Jehoshaphat did? I mean, we have traveling praise bands and evangelistic teams and regional seminars on subjects such as financial planning and handling stress, etc., etc. Why not more teaching teams giving straight exposition of God's word? This is a key to spiritual revival. So if you're involved in church outreach or home missions in any way, keep this practical application in mind. Why not send out teaching teams?